This is the first Next Generation Church Skypecast, what it was supposed to be. I guess this is a conference call now. This is the first one of the year. It actually developed out of our Asian American Emergence Skypecast, which we'd held about 3 or 4 last year. And we're really trying to take the emergent side out of it and make this a much more open conversation and dialogue. And I promise you that this won't be disguised as emergent. We're not emergent still trying to take over the conversation and make it all about emerging church and all that stuff. But I think we will make that a future topic for a conference call. If I could just set a few ground rules, we are going to try to stick pretty close to the agenda, which is going to be giving 3 topics and letting them speak their opinion or perspective. And in the meantime, if you're not speaking, if you could mute yourself, which I think you can do in the bottom left-hand corner there, just so we don't hear your dog barking or your baby crying or another phone call that you might have. And so this conference call, we're going to be covering the topic of Asian American churches, necessary, optional, or unhealthy diversion, with Ben providing the necessary perspective, DJ providing the optional perspective, and as an emergency backup, I'll be providing the unhealthy diversion perspective. So, Ben, if you could introduce yourself and then go right into your discussion.
Sure. My name is Ben Pon. I am a youth pastor in Houston, Texas, at Chinese Baptist Church. I'm originally from Chicago. That's about it. Just got introduced to this conversation through youth specialties mainly, and been reading up on a lot of the emergent conversation, I guess you would call it, and yeah, also having experience just growing up in Chinese churches and also being a youth pastor at a Chinese church, to have some experiences with, that's kind of where I'm coming from. And yeah, I guess should I just go ahead and start, Dave?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Okay, I guess so my viewpoint, I guess, would be that the Asian American church is necessary. And I guess I would just preface what I say by what I mean exactly when I say the Asian American church is necessary. And when I say that, what I mean is that ethnic Asian churches, I believe, must plant new churches to reach the English-speaking generations. And so I guess I'm going to argue that ethnic Asian churches cannot reach and minister to English-speaking generations effectively in the ethnic church, and that I believe church planting is the best solution. And that new church, I guess some could define it as Asian American church, but I wouldn't define it. I wouldn't want to put that label on it because it could emerge into, but I guess it would be born out of the desire to reach English-speaking generation, so I guess you can call it the Asian American church. I don't have a lot of reasons and a lot of stuff because I don't have much experience. But I'll just say the things that immediately come to my mind that are reasons for my argument. I think the most important reason is that in ethnic churches, I believe that the English-speaking ministries in ethnic Asian churches, the culture and the ethos of English-speaking ministries are inherently non-missional. And what I mean by when I say that is that they are born really out of a need to minister to the children of the ethnic church. And so, for example, you have the ethnic church was trying to reach these immigrant populations, Korean, Chinese, whatever, and stuff in mission field, just and then their kids to church with them because they're a family, and their kids, you know, are English speaking, and so then the English speaking ministry is birthed out of a need to minister to the family, and so really, in my opinion, I think that most English speaking ministries and ethnic churches are really, you know, to put it harshly, kind of born out of a babysitting mentality. And then kind of you start from that, and then you try to do ministry, less like babysitting and more like ministry. But I think they're born out of that. And so I just think it's when you're trying to reach the next generation, it's really hard to break out of that culture. And just, I guess, from personal experience, I would just say that this is what I've experienced in every Chinese church that I've been to. Been to a couple in Chicago. I've been to one in North Carolina. The one here in Houston, and I've observed many other Chinese churches here in Houston. And the general feel I get from visiting English-speaking congregations in these Chinese churches is that, first of all, all growth is biological, in that most of the growth I've seen is just kids, and then once the kids graduate, they enter the college ministry when they come home to their home church. And then once they graduate from college, they become young adults, and then they become the young adult ministry. And what I've seen in these ministries is really just it's like the young adult ministries would just really just be the Christians already who have some kind of link to the church. They come home, and then their other Christian friends from college who are also in the area, they become this young adult fellowship. And I'd love to be proven wrong, but I've never seen, in my experience, an ethnic Asian church that has an English-speaking ministry that is made up of a lot of new believers, a lot of people that were invited to come to the church that were unchurched. And I guess the larger English-speaking ministries that I've encountered have been large, but they're all made up of like lifetime Christians or people who did not become Christians in that ministry. And so this is what I'm talking about when I say that this is this DNA of English-speaking ministries that's very that's non-missional. It's not the ministries are not designed to reach unchurched people. And what happens is that, you know, of course, everyone emphasizes we need to do evangelism, and this is invite your friends. But what I've seen happen is that, so you invite your friends, but it's really just a secondary kind of secondary purpose of the ministry. And you know, once in a while, you might have just like maybe 1-5% of the population will be these invited friends, and sometimes, you know, they do kind of integrate. But yeah, I mean, just an experience that I wrote about on my blog recently was just I was talking to this unchurched friend who was I'm in a small group in a young adult ministry in a Chinese church, and there was an unchurched friend who was in it, and he really did feel like an outsider in a lot of ways because there's this Christian, kind of Asian Christian subculture. So with that said, I'd just like to say, I think that's the most compelling reason is that the culture of these English ministries are not missional to next generation. And the next thing I would say is that I think that the next generation, English-speaking generation of Asian churches, you know, our spheres of influence in the workplace and just in general are going to be more diverse, I think, than the first generation. You know, obviously, the first generation, you know, you're trying to reach people who speak a certain language, so it's understandable that their sphere of influence will be that people who speak that language. But in the next generation, I think that you will find that a lot of Asian Americans do have a lot of other Asian American friends. I would add that a lot of those friends are actually made at church. So if you're talking about non-Christian friends in the workplace, I think would be the best place to find it. And Asian Americans in the workplace, they make friends with, I would say, you know, in general, they make friends with everybody. And you know, I'll try to give an example. My fiance, actually, she's an Asian American, and she works in a marketing company, and there are a good number of Asian Americans in her company, and she does kind of gravitate to them a little bit, and so she's friends with them, but she also is friends with everybody else, because in her workplace, everyone's is younger, you know, and so they kind of naturally kind of hang out together. But yeah, in her group of friends, there's whites, there's African Americans, there's Hispanics. In general, what defines your sphere of influence is mostly young professionals, people who have similar education, similar likes and dislikes, and I'll just say, you know, kind of a professional. And so I think that's the kind of culture that Asian Americans are kind of in, you know. And if we are really talking about a holistic gospel, you know, I believe that holistic gospel means that you just share, we're living the faith with those who are around us and those who we can have impact on. And I think that's our sphere of influence. And so my point being that I think in the ethnic church, it's very difficult for people that are not from the ethnicity of the ethnic church to participate. I mean, just because of the fact that everyone is Chinese or everyone is Korean or everyone is Vietnamese or whatnot, if you're the only white person, you know, it's just uncomfortable. And so if you're speaking young adult group at First Chinese Church of whatever, and even though it's the English group, you know, I mean, you're coming to a Chinese church. There's things in the church that are Chinese, and I can understand why it would be a little weird. And I say that causes another barrier in trying to reach. And that, I think that's, you know, what that kind of explains why the subculture on missional, because it's just so I guess. I think those are my two main reasons there. In general, I just say, like, I believe that ethnic churches need to plan new churches, which can begin with new DNA, with the new environments. I think that the second generation needs. I think that we need to try to cooperate and seek help from the first generation instead of, you know, it can be very frustrating, obviously, especially when you're seeing this kind of non-missional culture build up. But, you know, I think instead of, you know, I think we've seen in the United States, you know, several successful church plants which were not affiliated with ethnic churches. And, you know, I'd love to see the ethnic churches have hearts to say, hey, we're not reaching the second generation, you know, we're not reaching their friends, not just we're trying to keep everybody, keep our kids coming to our church, but more like we're not reaching all these young people. And we're going to do our best to help start help out. And so I would just say that I think it's necessary that English speaking ministries within ethnic churches, I would say, are not reaching Asian Americans, and that it's necessary that something new happens, new environments are planted, and I would hope that it would be with the help of the ethnic churches. And I think that's it, and I'll just leave it at that.
Thanks a lot, Ben. Let's see. Our second topic or presentation is by DJ as the Asian American Church
well,
of Optional.
Well, middle is one way to say it.
Which is
I
a pretty interesting
big umbrella.
And I think very good for DJ to cover as middle of the road. What do you say, DJ?
About evangelicals and how evangelicals is such a big umbrella that it's hard to get your hands around, and it covers so much ground all the way from liberal to conservative and hyper-conservative and just all over the board. And I see the Asian American Church as a broad umbrella because the label itself is very, very broad. The term Asian American comes from the 60s and also has been flavored by the census. And there's over 34 ethnicities under that label. And then in academic circles, the term Asian American is used for first-generation immigrant ethnic Asians as well as second, third, fourth-generation Asian Americans. So generationally, it's a very broad label. And well, theologically, denominationally, subcultures, and so on. So it's very big, and so optional gives me the space to speak to that a little bit. Ben described the social factors that are at play, and certainly they are. I think that's something that we as pastors, ministry leaders, and theologians tend not to talk about the social dynamics of our faith, but yet they're very much a part of it. So I do see Asian American churches as being needed in some places, but what I'd like to speak to in terms of optional, it may not be needed in every place. So I've got a list of a few descriptive terms that I'll speak around why I believe it's optional. So certain places where there are many Asian Americans, certainly on the West Coast, 50% of Asian Americans are on the West Coast, which also means there are 50% of the Asian American population that are scattered beyond the West Coast, and they all need the gospel. And my observation and my thinking is that it takes all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people. So the first generation Asian American church, whether it's Chinese with a Chinese language ministry or a Korean church with a Korean language ministry, that having that kind of context will reach certain second generation people, but it won't reach all of them. We also need English speaking ministries that are independent and autonomous, as Ben suggested earlier, those that are newly planted, perhaps from first generation Asian churches, in order to reach the next generation. That will reach some people. And we may also need multi-ethnic churches to reach certain Asians that are more comfortable and more attracted to how the faith is lived out in a multicultural, multi-ethnic kind of context. So when I say Asian American churches are optional, it spans that whole spectrum. And the one of the goals of churches is to be evangelistic, to reach people. I think when we look at the church today, and we've got callers from all over the country, I'm sure you see that, or I think you see churches are not yet reaching everyone in your community. And one of the best ways to reach people is through church planting. And secondly, I think by having a church that's fitting your community and subcultural contexts, it helps people to have an ownership of their faith. That instead of just sitting in the pews or plugging into an existing church, and there are many great churches around the country with great programs and great ministries. Certainly it's easier to just plug in, but I would like to encourage and challenge people to take more ownership of their faith by planting churches and getting involved in that. being part of church plant for those that are not the lead church planter or pastor or so on. So I think it's a good option. It's a live option that we should consider to reach more people, and also to own and demonstrate our own faith, whatever that might look like. So the position of being optional, it's to say that you have to consider this: what is strategic for your community. Some places do need an Asian American church. Some places may need to be more missional, more community-minded, reach the demographics of their neighborhood. That may be more strategic. On the whole scheme of thing, I'll just add one last point, that I personally do see the Asian American church as a transitional state. By that I mean, when we aim and target for a subculture or a specific group of people, that loses out on what the gospel is really about, because the gospel is for all people. And we, as a church, we need to have that in mind as a part of our long-term vision, as a part of the kingdom vision, that the gospel is for all people and everyone should be able to have access to who Jesus really is. And that may look differently in each church, but it should be accessible. And when I say transitional, I mean an Asian American church may last for a generation or two, but down the road it may take on a different look as the demographics change. So those are my remarks regarding the optional Asian American church.
Thanks, DJ. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes. This is Peter. Yeah, you sound okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you. Pretty faint.
Pretty what?
Pretty faintly.
Is this better?
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, okay.
Well, let me just get into presenting the last perspective, which apparently was the most undesirable one, because it's presenting Asian American church as unhealthy diversion. And I have to be honest with you, I put this out there thinking that somebody else would want to take the lead on this and want to present this. Nobody even came close to it with a 10-foot pole, although there were a couple people that did generate some blog activity about it. And hopefully you guys got to see, I believe it was Emerging Truth, had a wonderful blog post, just ranting about this point. Hopefully you did get a chance to see that. But it was a pretty good post, and the reason why this question even came up was I actually was having a conversation with a friend of mine who is white and is a missionary, and we were discussing, you know, Asian church, and I was telling him about some of the problems in the Asian church, and he said, he looked at me and he said, "What are you talking about, Asian American church?" Well, and I said, "Well, you know, it's for the children of these immigrants, and it's in English, and we play the same songs, but it's for us, really." And he was like, "Well, that doesn't sound interesting to me at all," which I thought was kind of a little, you know, pretentious. And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And he's like, and then he turned to me and said, "Well, I don't think of you as," he's like, "Forgive me, but I don't think of you as Asian as much as you are American. I mean, you speak the language, you have, you know, you're completely fluent in this culture. I don't really think of you as different from me. But now your parents' church, I would be interested in going to your parents' church. That seems interesting to me." Which, you know, when I thought about that and tried to put it in terms of is what we're doing unique, and is what the Asian American church does, what we have to offer, is it unique? In terms of worship, we sing the same songs, I think, to a large degree, that the typical American church sings. In terms of sermon, if it's an English ministry, they're probably not missing out on that much. So it kind of brings to the point, well, is what we're doing really unhealthy? And so I think in this question, where it's phrased as an unhealthy diversion, is basically bringing up the point whether or not an Asian American church is healthy, number one, by itself. And I think that, at least in cases where I live, where Asian churches are usually more predominant and English ministries are subsidiary to that, you have a lot of churches that are that where competition becomes highly localized. So it becomes of this, well, anything you can do, I can do better. In terms of whether it's having a praise team, whether it's having a praise team that's not really into worship for worship's sake, but is out to sound better than the next church, or that is out to preach better than the next, you know, be more exciting or have more multimedia than the next Asian church. So in that case, that's where I felt like the argument could be made, hey, the Asian American church is becoming an unhealthy diversion. So not only are we kind of insulating ourselves, but we're also insulating ourselves to create a kind of cultural feedback where it's just louder and louder, and it's not doing anything. It's not a pleasant sound. It's not adding, and it actually prevents Asian Americans from developing into leadership and perhaps growing out into the larger church, per se. So I think that the other argument that can be made towards an Asian American church being an unhealthy diversion is that it's actually a refusal to assimilate, which is different than I think the immigrant church. But here you are in a second generation position where you kind of take away any growth path for kind of this new entity, this kind of hybrid entity. And I think that, as DJ mentioned, it is a transitional state. So that's assuming that it's going to transition into one or the other, whether it's going to be a quote-unquote American or quote-unquote Asian church. In essence, that this transitional state becomes a place of inefficiency or a place where it's just like the more friction we cause and perhaps the more harm that we could do to potential believers and even to current believers in terms of chasing them out of the church or in terms of not being able to activate their gifts and to equip them with gifts for the kingdom. And so in that case, I think Asian American church becomes very unhealthy. So that's my shtick in a few minutes. I would like to open this up, if it's okay with everybody else, to questions and more discussion. Does anybody want to start on perhaps on a specific position, whether it's necessary, optional, or unhealthy diversion?
Hi, David. This is Peter.
Hey, Peter.
Another discussion that has come up is the idea, the third position, how some of the ethnic Asian churches, even the second generation, creates, not this idea of inclusion or being missional, but it being exclusionary, in the sense that that even borders on racist. In terms of liking Asians and liking Asian cultures and like being around Asians, and not really looking at the broader spectrum of I guess in our society where it becomes very pluralistic, and having opportunities to see it as, especially in urban settings, and for example, an Asian American ethnic church can really be seen being exclusionary in terms of race. So if there was a person who just say is dating an Asian American will come to the church, and I think there'll be a lot of tension. So sometimes we have created these kind of ethnic ministries to kind of sustain that kind of subtle racism, in terms of not really being inclusive to a larger spectrum, not really pursuing the gospel and really using it as a leverage to create a third home for people where they want to explore or to cultivate their ethnic identities. And I've been hearing a lot of that, which is a new argument or a new kind of critique of it, where you're just creating these kind of ethnic huddles where you look the same, act the same, and want to create a culture that excludes people instead of including people. So I'm wondering what people have to say in response to that.
Well, as a starter, if you don't mind, I think I totally agree with you. I think that falls under the criticism of Asian American churches' unhealthy diversion, where, you know, the moniker Asian American is pretty it's rudimentary anyway, because it's really not Asian American churches. We're really talking about, or you know, so even in amongst our own Asian ethnicities, there's not a whole lot of conversation, you know, similar to the one we're having tonight, that crosses some of those barriers. So there are a lot of problems where I feel like the propensity to perpetuate ethnic churches to perpetuate exclusivity.
Right. And how do we gauge that, I guess? Because no one will outwardly say, oh yeah, I think our church is pretty racist.
That's a good question. I don't know how you gauge that. I don't know if there's a racist meter. although comedians do a good job of doing that for society.
Right.
But you know, the funny thing about, and I was discussing this with my wife, which some of you know, is she's Indian American, and this is the strange thing about having an Asian American church. When I really mean Korean American, which is, you know, for her, it's, she sees the absurdity in it, because if I were to perpetuate, let's say I wanted to build an Asian American high school, mm-hmm. well, that would be considered really limiting. That'd be considered short-sighted, mm-hmm. Because obviously the best opportunities, the best resources are not stuff that I have to recreate, but it's stuff that I can actually access because everybody's participating. And some of that criticism, I think, can fall squarely upon the Asian American church. It's just as limiting. It's just as resource depleted, and we're probably even short-staffing our churches more because we're not willing to look at the fact that we're excluding ourselves from bigger and better opportunities.
Right. Yeah, I'd like to quote this. I think there's a book coming out on Oxford University Press by a professor named Elaine Howard Eklund. And it's called Korean American Religion, Race, Ethnicity, and Civic Life. And one of the quotes that she has said is, the religious rhetoric of second-generation churches tend to inadvertently create distance between its Asian American members and other racial ethnic groups. And as a result, there's a sense of us and them with obvious consequences for interracial and interethnic relationships as they assimilate into American life. And she says, members of the second-generation Korean churches see their own and their parents' generation as being more hardworking than other non-white Americans. By not actively resisting the stereotype, some of these churches unconsciously reinforce boundaries between their members and other non-white Americans.
Hmm.
So it's interesting.
The thing with challenges. Particular
a lot of
church
these issues, and when I talk to people about
church model,
you know,
there are
it just seems like another form of, you know, race
exclusion. Certainly, the potential for racism or unconscious racism in a multi-Asian, pan-Asian kind of church could be there, and one of the ways to address that is for the pastor and the congregation to be in fellowship with other particular kinds of churches that might be multi-ethnic, African-American, Latino, as a church-to-church, inter-church fellowship kind of an approach, so they can keep each other in check, and yet still be strategic to reach certain subcultures and subgroups that a multi-ethnic church would not be able to reach. There's a lot of good and idealistic and theological values that would make the multi-ethnic church the gold standard. Certainly from Revelation 5, interpreted a certain way that, you know, all people are worshiping God together. Why don't we see that today And if we were to see that today, that would be such a testimony of how God can bring people who come from different backgrounds, different histories, even racial tensions, under one roof, worshiping together and relating with one another in genuine Christian love. So there's a lot of truth to that, but yet churches in America in particular are really struggling with this because of its racialized history. They aren't able to move towards that, and it seems, some may argue, it's not the only evangelistic strategy that works for all peoples.
In terms of church growth, it seems that the ethnic churches seem to grow, in terms of developing a home for people. It seems to grow, especially within the immigrant church. It grows much quicker than in a multi-ethnic setting. I don't know what the study is, but I remember Pastor John Ian, who's a professor in ATS, who does church studies, said that generally ethnic churches tend to grow much quicker than. But again, I don't know in terms of depth or discipleship, but that in terms of getting, building a third home or a community where people can gather and attract people, the ethnicity seems to be the big draw, especially within the immigrant communities.
Or he might be eating some potato chips.
Peter, are you eating your mic?
Not yet.
Just had to ask.
He's rubbing against my double chin. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm watching the game while I'm on the Skype cast. No, just kidding.
Aww.
Just kidding.
Hey, does anyone here believe that the English-speaking ministries, like within Asian churches, can still be viable?
Come again? Can they still be what?
Like viable?
I think viable and reaching some
unchurched Asian Americans,
English-speaking Asian Americans, and even non-Asians. But
does that make sense?
Given the
yes, it makes
assumption,
sense.
The ballpark okay. guess that maybe only 10% of Asian Americans are churched on the whole. I would say that. There's 90% that need to be reached, and the existing model is not reaching them.
I think there's some distinctives too that attract second generation. I think as long as you have an immigration story, the narrative that's being developed in a country, I think the second generation will always thrive because I think that's part of their narrative and I think that's part of their story. And I think a lot of these second generation churches exist because there is a certain level of affinity to that story. I think Kang Fong has these, four quadrants of affinity towards your Asian ethnic background. There's one on the father's spectrum, you have second generations who, totally are assimilated and have no desire to have anything to do with being their original ethnic or their parents' ethnicity or culture. And then you have, the first quadrant, which they have a very strong kind of ethnic affinity towards being Chinese or Korean or Japanese, and still kind of, they're almost 1.5, even though they might have been born here. So I think there is a viable kind of home, and I think as we're living in a culture that's so pluralistic, I think there's always these niches where people want to build community around some similar stories. So, for example, for second generation, we all understand the pressure of going to, or your parents wanting to go to Ivy League, or, I remember in one of our conferences we were talking about how Asian churches, when we all get together for lunch, we all know that it takes about 45 minutes to figure out where we want to go. So I think there's, as long as that that kind of story in terms of the second generation from and immigration providing its first generation narrative, I think there will always be a viable affinity towards that. But how that looks like in terms of, you know, church life, you know, that's another kind of question that I think we run into, because once the second generation ministry has been shared, they run into a lot of cultural conflicts and collisions with the first generation in terms of like being glorified babysitters. I always see that as an issue, but in terms of it being viable, I think it always will be, because they will always have those kind of meta narratives where we'll deal with the second generation issues.
Someone should ask something provocative.
It could be you, Joshua.
I don't know if I would be the one to ask anything provocative.
If there's anyone that can ask something provocative, it'd be you. Well, I think, you know, obviously we're covering a lot of different perspectives, and obviously I don't know if the people that presented them actually believe that is the, you know, that holds on to that perspective and espouses that perspective on a daily basis. I, for one, have a hard time believing that the Asian American church is solely a healthy diversion, although there are days where I believe it's very unhealthy and it is nothing but a diversion. But there are days where I believe it's absolutely necessary as well. It's really hard. I think the one of the biggest things that I think DJ said was really making note that this is an entity in a transition, and it can look a lot of different ways and different stages. And I think it's going to happen now for those of us who are Chinese and Korean, and it's going to look like this to many Vietnamese and, you know, other ethnicities, where it's just we're going to go through all these growing pains. It's just we don't talk to each other enough to find out if there's any commonalities.
But DJ, this is the question in terms of growing pains. I feel like we're still dealing with the same issues that we've been dealing for 40 years. So I feel like the progress is hard coming in terms of, you know, really making some substantial, I guess, quantum changes within the way we look at
each ministry. Yes, these are recurring issues.
We have a fellowship in New York of pastors, and they're saying, these older pastors saying these are issues that they've been talking about for the last 40, 25 years.
What I'm beginning to see is more action than there was in the past, because of technology in part, and I think there's new blood. Couple of reasons that might be happening. We are seeing more multi-ethnic ministries and multi-ethnic churches.
Okay.
Not a lot of them, but there's a few, and probably the best organization that's doing that is InterVarsity, which has been a champion for biblical reconciliation. And with InterVarsity being a college campus ministry, that seems to be a very formative time for the spiritual life of a lot of second-generation Asian Americans. And so when they're exposed to the gospel through that lens, they come back to their traditional first-generation, intergenerational Asian church, and they say, man, something's not right here, and then they look for a church elsewhere, and they can't find it. And so there's a new stirring that's caused by that, because it's beginning to be modeled and beginning to be advocated in a fellowship kind of way. So people are yearning for that in their church too. Whereas before it was an issue that was discussed and wrestled with in more of a pastor's fellowship kind of thing or at a seminary setting. But when lay people get a picture and a vision and, you know, see something in everyday life, and I think that begins to kind of trickle down and permeate what people want to see in living space. The other thing I wanted to mention, not necessarily related to my position, was an Asian American church, I think, is needed to help Asians that come from different ethnic backgrounds to learn what reconciliation would look like. When you look at Chinese history and Korean history and Japanese history, and these are all just East Asians, we've got some tough things in our history, from wars and conquests and inter-Asian racism. I think Asians are tougher on each other than they are of non-Asians, you know, in terms of how we show our hospitality and so on, and the Asian stereotypes against other Asians. I mean, just ugly stuff that's in our history and in our cultures. And to have an Asian American church, multi-Asian, pan-Asian kind of approach, can really be a place of healing and reconciliation. For them, just practice that among Asians before they really live that out in a fully multi-ethnic context. And then when we talk about Asian American church, it tends to be dominated by East Asians. And we kind of leave behind the Southeast Asians, like Vietnamese, Cambodians, and Thais, and the South Asians, like Indian and Pakistani. So when I say it's a transitory state, it's a pretty big transitory state for us just to learn how to get along with others that are under this Asian umbrella. Anyway, I went on a bit long, but I thought that was appropriate.
Well, you know, DJ, when you say that, that kind of church that you're mentioning comes with a certain degree of cost, personally and culturally, to make that kind of, to create that kind of solidarity and worship. And I know you'd be willing to make that cost. You know, you'd be willing to pay the price of admission to that kind of church. And I would be able to. I mean, I at least I hope I would be able to, if I were ever offered a church like that, to leave behind a few things and leave, you know, my inside jokes behind, or my language or my food behind. But I think that it'd be worth it. I'm not so sure if there, a lot of people would be, though.
I think it takes a specific community for that to be cultivated. You know, I think,
see, demographically
where
speaking,
do you find
we do have
urban
that.
Settings where,
sorry.
Demographically,
New York has that. LA has that.
Have an urban setting
has
that.
That
has those.
We've got a lot of diversity in large cities.
A plurality of so many ethnic groups where those kind
sorry,
of friendships or solidarity can really happen.
Josh,
in terms
go
of
ahead.
Relationships.
Hmm. Within InterVarsity. Hello?
Okay. Right. Well, right.
Josh Settles?
Yes. I think within the InterVarsity mix, since DJ mentioned it, there's been quite a bit of unsettled debate over exactly what multi-ethnicity looks like and how we become a multi-ethnic movement. So I think it's, you know, there are competing values even as students are discipled and shaped in terms of their experience within InterVarsity. So if Asian American students come to InterVarsity, let's say a Korean American student comes through InterVarsity and then is, because of the way we've discipled them, is no longer able to function well within the context of the Korean church or the Korean community, one of the questions we have to wrestle with is, have we served them well, or have we further alienated them from an essential part of their identity, which is not an easy question to answer. Not to say that that's not what God wants to do in a particular person's life, but I think it does raise that issue in terms of talking about an Asian American church that's multi-ethnic. It does touch on some of those particular cultural issues that folks may not be willing to give up, as David has mentioned. And the secondary question would be, is that more for who is served necessarily by that? And not that, I think it we can choose to be multi-ethnic for the sake of our own comfort and wanting to be the body of Christ, or we can choose to be multi-ethnic because we're strategic in that in that effort. But most of the time, or I won't say most of the time, often, I think multi-ethnicity looks very good in terms of what people expect, but it doesn't always come out of that desire to reach more people, since it's not necessarily the most effective way to reach people in whatever subcultural group that they are part. Now, on another note, entirely disconnected, I think it's very fascinating, just as an observation, that these types of conversations happen, are happening, or at least at some level within the Asian American church community, but they never happen in the Black American community that I'm aware of. And so I just think that's an interesting take on an interesting observation, and I wonder what the sociological reasons that may be that underlie that. Black churches are not wrestling with whether or not they should be.
I've had a little exposure to the Black church. I have a few good friends who are. Two examples come to mind, David Anderson in Columbia, Maryland, and David Ireland up in New Jersey. They're African-American pastors, but they've been strongly...
Oh, yeah, to open that can of worms.
...multi-ethnic church. So they're looking past their African-American church heritage and desiring to reach their neighborhoods. My other reference point is a church in Atlanta. It's called Destiny Church. I'm not sure the full name. I got to meet the pastor there, and he's African-American. He's realizing the next generation of upwardly mobile African-Americans don't feel all that comfortable in the traditional African-American church. So on the broad scheme of things, the African-American church is kind of the social center, and maybe 78% of African-Americans are churched. But perhaps those examples are suggesting that things have plateaued and church is beginning to change, even in the African-American context.
I certainly think that there's movement within the African American church community, but those examples I would guess would be more likely to be considered fringe, even within the larger movement of Black churches to reach the next generation of Black professionals, and the churches that are right now being most effective in terms of reaching Black professionals have a very distinct Black cultural style and flavor that actually, in some cases, in many cases, has a broad appeal beyond the Black community because of the charisma of the pastor or the dynamism of the worship or what have you. And so, which leads me to another question. If Asian American people in some way abandon, or I don't know if the right word is, too readily cast off those cultural heritage,
Is there not a possibility that they would lose effectiveness ultimately in reaching folks with the gospel? The Black Church has certainly been tremendously successful in influencing the entire culture of Black America because of its strong retention of some very, very distinct cultural elements. And I wonder if there's not a danger that the Asian American community might, in seeking to gain one thing, end up losing both.
I think that this is, even the fact that you'd bring this up, that, hey, this doesn't take place in the Black community, is indicative of the fact that the Asian American church is much more on the periphery of the culture at large than reflective of the African American community. Whereas I think the church is much more, has a much bigger part and place in the culture than the Asian American church does. So I mean, part of this discussion is absolutely necessary from our perspective.
I think when Asian Americans look at us,
but,
they would call
as
us
you
on
say,
the
it's not even a topic of conversation to be pursued amongst African Americans because it's not a real issue. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's real easy for me to say that. I'm way on the sidelines on that conversation, but. Well, we're already coming up on an hour, so I wanted to thank everybody for coming. You're free to stay and talk. We will make a recording of this available between DJ and I. We will get something going. And we'll also research whether or not Skypecast is really our best avenue for trying to do this every month. We are going to try to keep doing this once a month with a different topic headlining each call. Did you like the fact that we had a topical discussion, or we were trying to get a topical discussion? Was that helpful?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any suggestions that you'd like to discuss for the next chat? Or the next Skype cast or conference call, whatever it may turn out to be?
I think for myself, just the things that have been coming up in a lot of our meetings in New York is working within the first and second generation church. And how does one, I guess, negotiate or bridge some of the conflicts? And I know that topic comes up a lot, but I would love to hear, and I'm beginning to hear some really interesting models of those bridges that are being formed in terms of the first and generation, some strategies of moving ahead. Is something that I'd like to hear more about.
I'm going to speak up for a friend of mine that wasn't able to make it to this evening's conference call. Worship and the distinctives of Asian American worship, and trying to create avenues for that.
One of the topics
so
I would
that
love
as a future
to
topic as
have
well.
Is kind of the interethnic worship. Dialogue between
yes.
Asian churches and African American churches, as well as Asian churches and Latino churches.
I don't have a topic of particular interest. I'm just happy to be along for the ride as a non-Asian American person looking from the outside in.
He looks like the rest of us.
See, Josh, you thought you were going to get away just listening. DJ's pulling you in for the big fish.
Apparently so.
What do you mean by that?
Well, since Josh was our since Josh was our resident,
when I do
you can't tell. You can't tell by his icon.
Find,
you can't tell by his little Skype icon.
With, you know,
but
similar,
our brother
generational issues.
Yeah,
our Korean American churches. They're also
Joshua is our resident African American brother and consultant. So
and,
he will have something to add to that conversation, DJ. If you intend to kick it out to an interethnic dialogue,
occur when you have a people group that are churched and socially socializing together.
Right.
I will be glad to speak for all black people.
Since we're brainstorming,
oh, this is awesome.
An interesting dialogue would be the United States versus Canada.
Any other topics for future reference?
Because Asian North America...
I can honestly say right now, we're probably going to discuss emerging church...
A pan-Asian church.
In the ethnic context.
Canadian context.
What the heck is the emerging church?
Similarities and some differences.
You'll have to stay tuned
and
for that call.
Another point of reference I would love to...
We won't figure that out for another 20 years.
Connections, but would be to compare Hawaiian churches and the Continental 48. Because Hawaii is largely Asian American. Although they don't call themselves Asian American.
What do you mean?
Hawaiian. And I would speculate, you know, would... the Pan-Asian Church in the Continental 48 look like a Hawaiian church looks like now.
Oh, yeah.
I think that'd be very interesting to find out. Is there anybody on from California on this call? I guess not.
I am from California. This is Cyrus.
Oh, what's up?
Hey. Also, what DJ was saying, what also might be interesting, I was also looking at not just Canada... places like Hawaii, or are there other countries who have Asian immigrants and going to Asian immigrant churches?
Just beginning to surface in
like
and
I think
a couple
of the missionary or short-term missions that my church ran went to like Asian churches in Panama and places in South America, stuff like that.
That's a fascinating question.
Well, and then we should cross our Asian lines with Southeast Asians
right.
And South Asians.
And I remember when we had Savin, he had some really great insight as a pastor in Malaysia. And I met several Australian
pastors.
We could
have David and his wife.
We're doing some pretty exciting stuff to deal with some of the things that we were talking about. So we'll try to get them on the call, too.
Yeah, she'll represent all billion Indians.
Right, all of them.
Yeah,
just like Josh.
Yeah.
He'll represent all the blacks.
That's right.
Well, we'll definitely put these together and try to map out the next few months and get all of you involved if this is a particular thing that resonates with you, and I'll try to post a lot of this stuff on my blog as well to try to generate dialogue and get the ball rolling.
Sounds good.
Oh, thanks for the subtitle. Cyrus, where in California are you?
I am from Northern California.
Northern California.
Cyrus, when he was in middle school, was in my camp in New York City. And it's crazy that I see him online now.
Wow, Peter. Your influence runs very deep. And wide.
In more ways than one.
All right.
Oh, actually, Yuling, I'm glad you're on this call.
Gordon, where are you
I was
from?
Hoping that with this call we could get someone who was at Urbana.
I'm from New York City.
What it was like to have 29% Asians there, and there was a couple workshops that addressed Asian issues, and some of that might pertain to our discussion tonight.
And Yuling's from Canada, right?
In terms of where people are from, I mean.
Oh. Yuling is from Canada, I think. Is that right, Yuling?
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was actually a very huge Asian presence. I believe the statistics said, at least coming from Canada, over 50% were visible minorities. And that was mainly from the Chinese and Korean churches, I believe. If you were to go to the Urbana webpage, they post out the Urbana Todays, the daily newspapers, and I think they have statistics, and from what I understand, there would probably be 4% from visible minority Christian fellowship groups, and that's actually third place out of all the other statistics. So there's probably around 60% from Ivy US, 10% from Ivy Canada, and then just a whole mix of others. But third place, supposedly, is from the Chinese Christian fellowships across North America. Wow. So definitely, yeah, there's a enlargement of that, I guess, ethnic group coming in.
Speaking of which, there's two conferences that are coming up specifically for Asian American ministry. I think there's one coming up in February with EPIC, which is the Asian American branch of Campus Crusade. And I think in the third week of March, there's an Asian American ministry with IV in San Mateo, I believe. So, if people are interested, I'll put that on my blog.
Nice.
Oh, this is Cyrus again. I also went to Urbana, and actually just want to say something about the seminars I realized that were geared towards Asian Americans. Something that also could be used later with the Skype cast is actually how our churches need or should be or try to at least connect better with the academic world of Asian American studies, because one of the things really lacking in most of the Asian American seminars was their connection with
I can ask nicely, yes.
The statistics that are like the connection just with the academia. I think yeah, because I'd love to have a Russell Jung here or something like that. That'd be really cool.
I'm sure DJ can arrange that. Yeah. Now that we're not emergent and heretical, I think we're okay.
I knew about the emergent part. I didn't say anything about heresy.
That's what I felt like, Dave. I would ask people, hey, you want to be part of this emergent? They're like, what? You're an emergent? So now we're safe.
Safe. It's always a dangerous place with you. Well, I for one have to check out. I am. I just recently had surgery on my Achilles tendon, so I am gorked up and drugged up, and I'm not surprised if anything I said made any sense tonight. But I'll try to.
It normally get doesn't. Some...
So yeah, thanks, Josh.
You blew out your Achilles?
Yeah.
You blew out your... Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
When did this happen?
I didn't get the memo that I'm old now.
All right.
Dave, so great just, job. Thank you.
It got lost in the mail.
Yeah, definitely. But it was very nice meeting all of you. I'm so glad that so many of you turned up. I was hoping we can get that Skype cast up so we can... get more than 9 people on next time, but we'll have to shoot for that next time.